This morning, we're going to go to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4, and I want to read a couple of verses here, beginning in verse number 8 through verse number 10. I want to talk to you this morning on this subject, when deliverance is delayed. When deliverance is delayed. In 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 8, it says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifest, may be also manifested in our body." And so I want to talk to you this morning on this subject, when deliverance is delayed. And so, sometimes we feel persecuted, but we have not been forsaken. At times we have been cast down, but we have not been destroyed. And so, how many of us know this morning that we serve a mighty God? I want to set that the foundation this morning. We serve a mighty God. And I imagine everybody would agree with that statement this morning, that we serve a mighty God. We like to talk about the wonderful miracle working power of the Almighty God, and I believe in the miracle working power of God. I believe that He's a healing God. I believe it's a miracle working God. Even when things are not going right in my life, as the song we sang this morning, I'm still going to trust Him with my life. Because God knows all things. And so, truly we know that God is mighty. Truly we know that God's hand is all powerful, and there is nothing that God cannot do. Any problem that you might have in your life this morning or in the future, we know that God can handle those situations, because there is nothing that is too big for our God. Any trouble that you find yourself in right now or in the future, God has the ability and He has the power to fix those situations. Any situation that is relative to your particular set of unique circumstances from your life is not too big for God to be able to take care of. I don't care what the problem is. I don't care what the matter is or what the need is. It doesn't matter what the situation is. It doesn't matter what the adversity is, because God is a mighty God. It doesn't matter how strong the storm is. It doesn't matter how fierce the winds might be in your life. It doesn't matter how high the floodwaters might be in your life. It doesn't matter how bad it looks all around you. God is still in control. And it might look like a serious situation in your life, but God is well able to meet your needs in just one instant of time. He is mighty, and He is a miracle-working God. Amen. Give Him praise. And so if you're here this morning and you have a financial need or you have a healing need, it's no problem for God. If you're here this morning and you're facing a relationship need in your life, maybe a marital situation or a child relationship, whatever might be going on in your life, it is no problem for God. Whether it's a family need or a need of salvation, it is no problem for God. Because any need that you have in your life is not too big for our God. Our God is mighty, our God is able, and He is willing and able to do exploits. Because the Word of God says, "My God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory." It also says, "Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you might ask or think, He is able to cause triumph in your life." He is able to bring victory to your life because He is mighty, He is powerful, and He is an awesome and wonderful God. And so I wanted to share that today to establish the fact that our God is able to meet the needs of our lives. But what I want to talk to you here this morning about is, what about when God doesn't answer us right away? What happens when we get a different answer than the answer that we expected? Or what happens when we pray and things get worse instead of better? Now, I hope that we're not too spiritual to believe that sometimes, I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where maybe I've prayed for a child or prayed for specifically one of my children I often pray about, but it seems like the situation gets worse instead of better. But does that mean that God is not in control, or does that mean that God is not still showing up in the need? Absolutely not. But sometimes God doesn't answer us the way that we want to be answered. What happens when deliverance is delayed? Why do we face difficulties even when we are doing what God has called us to do? When these questions come, does that affect my view of the mighty God that I serve? When the answer doesn't come, does it make me think differently about God? Well, we can look at Moses. Moses was lashing out at God because he has done what God has told him to do, but things are getting worse instead of better. Moses said, I've done what you've called me to do, and God, you haven't showed up. I've kept my part of the bargain, but you haven't kept your part of the bargain, God. You still haven't delivered us. You still haven't showed up, and we are still waiting for you to do what that you said you would do. Or you go to the story of Mary and Martha in the New Testament as they weep because their brother Lazarus has died. And they said, Jesus, where are you? Jesus, you have come too late. Why did you not show up before our brother died? And they called for the master to come, but he never did come. And Lazarus died. And so Mary began to weep, and they didn't understand why Jesus didn't show up. And they became confused, and Martha begins to moan, and she falls to her knees, and she said, Jesus, I thought that you would come. I thought that you were our friend, but you have not come yet. Sometimes we have those questions. There are times in our lives that things appear to be just like that. They appear to be dead. They appear to be that as though things are over, a situation, a marriage, or a life, or whatever it might be, a dream, or whatever it might be in your life, it appears that there's a deaf ear to your cry, and it seems like the dreams that God gave you maybe years ago, it may seem like they are dead and nothing is happening. It looks like God has forgotten you, and you're desperate for an answer, but there is no answer to come, and you feel like it's too late for God to do anything in your life for your situation, and you feel just like Mary and just like Martha when their brother died, and sometimes you might say, God, you're too late, and you cry out, God, where are you? But the winds pick up and cry and slap you back down in your face again. You stagger along like a drunken man in your spirit as the enemy delivers more and more adversity to you in your life. But I want to tell you this morning, just wait. Wait upon the Lord before you give up for good. Let's take another look off in the distance. I'm going through the storm just like Peter and the disciples when they were out there in the boat, and the storm became rampant, and it began to beat against their boat, and it looked like they were going to die. But somewhere off in the distance, Jesus was walking on the water, and he was coming unto them, toward them on the stormy waters of their adversity. The same thing can be in our life this morning. We might be walking through a storm, and we don't hear the voice of the Lord, and we don't know where he is, but somewhere off in the distance, God is there, and he's bidding us to walk out and to come unto him. And when we put our trust in him, he will walk with us, and he will guide us, and he will lead us, and he will direct our lives. The Bible says, I will look to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. My help is coming right now. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. It's not here just yet, but it's on the way. It's almost here. I want to preach to you this morning and tell you about God does all things for the good of those who love the Lord. God does all things well, even when it seems like a disaster. God has His own time plan. God has His own clock for your life, and He wants to deliver you from your situation because God is never too late. Even when we think He is late, He is an on-time God, and He always shows up just in time. God is still in charge, and God is still on your side. You can and you will eventually triumph over the distasteful business of hell if you are willing to patiently wait on the Lord when the answer has not yet come. I want us to look at a verse when deliverance is delayed in Isaiah chapter 40 in verses 27 through 29 and then in verse number 31 of Isaiah chapter number 40. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known, have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth? Neither faints nor is weary, His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. And then in verse number 31, a verse we all know and repeat and quote often, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. I'm going to tell you, when you put your hands and put your trust in the life of God, God will take care of you and God will bring you through the valley. God will bring you through the deathly situations that you walk through. You can be an addict. You can overcome it through the power of Jesus Christ. You can have cancer in your body, as we sang about this morning, but God can bring total healing to your situation. You can bring in mind confusion of the mind and things of anxiety and all the pressures of life, but God is a God that will deliver you if you will just raise up your hands and say, God, I trust in You even through my situation. I will not give up. I will not quit, but I'm going to keep on walking and I'm going to keep on moving forward in my relationship with Jesus Christ because God has a great thing for my life. If you can just wait on the Lord just a little while longer, He will renew your strength. The answer hasn't arrived yet, but He will renew your strength. Why does God work the way He does? I don't know, but I do know this. We will understand it in the by and by. If we wait on the Lord. That little word if is a big conjunction word there, and it conjuncts the sentence, if I wait upon the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 55, I want to read a few verses to you here. I got several scriptures this morning, beginning in verse number 8. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but they water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." You know, God's ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God doesn't always do things like we would do them. He doesn't think like this. But there is one thing that we know about God, and that is that His Word will not return void. He will accomplish its intended purpose. If God has told you that He will do something in your life, you can count on it that God will do it. The storms of life come to everybody, even the child of God. And sometimes God calms the storms, and at other times, He just jumps on board with us and calms His children at that, so that we can ride out the storm together. Deliverance might be delayed right now, but you just keep on waiting on the Lord, because when you wait upon the Lord, He's going to renew your strength, and you can mount up like a wings of an eagle, and you can fly and sail as God has called you to do. We look at life of the Apostle Paul, and we say, what a great man the Apostle Paul was. I wish I could be more like Paul. Well, let's take a little look at his life this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verses 8 through 10, it says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we are burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we be despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that He will still deliver us." Now, I want us to notice a few things about Paul. Paul had many troubles in his life. Paul was despaired in life. Paul had the sentence of death upon him. But he stated that he would not trust in himself, but he trusted in God. And God delivered him from death. He trusted that God would deliver him again. And then in our verses that we read this morning, "We are troubled on every side, yet we are not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body." Again, he talks about death and dying. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, in verse 24, it says, "Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck night and day and in the deep. And then in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." You see, Paul was a man that was used greatly by God, but he was also a man that suffered much for God. Paul suffered much pain, but what brought him through was his attitude toward the pain. You know, sometimes if we go through situations, we get into a position and we don't trust God. And we see ourselves going down and down and down. Just begin to trust God and don't trust your own strength, because it's when we become weak, Christ becomes strong. He cared much more about the glory of God resting on him than he did the pain that was in his life. That is why his pain was turned into pleasure. In 2 Corinthians 12, in verses 7 through 10, it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that I might that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, Christ becomes strong in my life. You know something? It's not normal to take pleasures in infirmities and adversities. But the thing that Paul learned was that you must trust in God in spite of what you are going through. He learned that it's the pain and the suffering that is at times setting the influence of our lives. The heavy burden can actually become a ballast for our lives. Dr. Thomas A. Lambie, a medical missionary to Africa, told about how he forded many swift and bridgeless streams. The danger in crossing such streams lies in being swept off your feet and carried down the stream to greater depth, that it hurled to death against the hidden rocks. And Dr. Lambie learned this from the natives, that the best way to make a hazardous crossing is you find a large stone, and the heavier the stone, the better, and you lift that stone above your shoulder, and you carry it across the stream, because the extra weight of the stone keeps your feet solid and the bed of the stream while you are crossing. And so the application of the story is this. While crossing the dangerous streams of life, enemies constantly seek to overthrow us and push us and rush us down, but we need the ballast of burden bearing a load of affliction to keep us from being swept off of our feet. Martin Luther once said, "All affliction is the best book in my library." Walter B. Knight tells of an American tourist who had just seen the Passion play. Approaching Mr. Lane, who played the part of Christ, he asked, "May I be photographed with you while I lift your cross?" And the tourist stopped to lift the cross, but he couldn't. He exerted more energy, but could not lift it. And looking to Mr. Lane, he said, "Your cross is certainly heavy." Mr. Lane said, "Sir, I cannot represent Christ with a light cross." You see, in life, it will be the grievous things that will help lift us to heaven. Why is it that God allows trials to come? Why is it that bad things sometimes happen to good people? Why does God allow the pain that is so intense that it seems difficult to even breathe? Why does God allow us to weep and cry over a child or about a loved one or a crisis that is in our lives? Maybe your pillow is wet at night and you cry out to God, but it seems like He's not listening, and you put a smile on your face and you deal with the world, but deep down inside, you are broken and there is pain and there is hurt in your life and in your heart. What can you do at times like this? You know something? Job went through adversity. He lost everything that he had. He lost his family. He lost his sheep. He lost his camel. He lost all of his money, everything that he had. Hagar went through that kind of situation. Naomi went through that kind of difficulty. Hannah went through dark times in her life. Jacob feared for his life when Esau was coming after him to kill him. David was surrounded by his own men that wanted to stone him. And Paul was stoned and left for dead. I want to tell you what you do when you get in a situation that you find yourself in times like that. What you do is you trust God and you continue to wait upon the Lord and you continue to hold to His hand, even if you don't understand what God is doing in your life. You just trust God when your deliverance is delayed. in 1 Peter chapter 4, in verses 12 and 13, it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." You see, pain and affliction are allowed so that people will keep close to the Lord in prayer. We don't want those things to happen in our life. We don't joy because they happen, but we joy in the situation. We don't want those times in our life, but it is the trial and the adversity that will purify us and bring us closer in our relationship with God. It's the bearing of the burden that will strengthen us to endure all the way to the end in our walk with God. You see, it's easy for people who don't have much invested to walk away from God. But those who have invested in their walk with God, and those who are completely sold out to God, will want to hold on all the way to the end because they have been through the fire, because they have been through the floods, because they have been through the storms, and they have walked through the difficulties, and they have faced the adversities of life, and the trying of their faith has produced a quality in them that is as pure as gold. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, "But the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." Four things that God wants to do for you after you have suffered. He wants to perfect you, He wants to establish you, He wants to strengthen you, and He wants to settle you. When deliverance is delayed, what do we do during the delay? We have looked at the fact that there will be delays, but how do I make it through the delays of life? I've got a few scriptures more that I want to share with you this morning. In Isaiah 35, verse 4, here's what we do. "Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, He will come and He will save you." Isaiah 41, verse 10 says this, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And then in Isaiah 43, it says this, "But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, and I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflow you, and when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom." And then Ethiopia and Sheba in your place, "Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you." Now let's move on over to Psalm chapter 23, a famous verse of Scripture. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me, and you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And all the days of my life, he says, goodness and mercy shall follow me. and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Ladies and gentlemen, He wants goodness and mercy to follow after you. And then in Deuteronomy chapter number 20, in verses 3 and 4, it says this, "And He shall say to them, Hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint, do not let it be afraid, and do not tremble or be terrified because of them, for the Lord your God is He who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies in order to save you." Hallelujah. Give Him another praise. And then in Psalms 27 and in verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is strength unto my life. When the wicked come against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may arise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple, for in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle He shall hide me. He shall set me upon a high rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle, and I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord." Hallelujah! Give Him praise in this house. One more passage. I know I've got a lot of Scripture, but I'm going to tell you, it takes Scripture to help bring us through the trials. In Psalm 46, it says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her just as the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved, and He uttered His voice, and the earth melted, and the Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our stronghold." Hallelujah! The God of Jacob is our stronghold. I want to close with this morning. When the devil seems like he's got you down, when your life seems like it's confused, when pressures of life have come against you, and you don't know what to do, I'm going to tell you, you trust in the Lord. Give Him your heart, give Him your soul, give Him your mind. Love Him with everything that you are, and let God direct your life. Because when the enemy tries to get you down and tries to defeat you and kick you down in life, and he will try to do so because that's his purpose. But there's a God that is greater than the adversary. There's a God by the name of Jesus Christ that is here this morning that is able to equip you and that is able to provide you with what you need in your life as you walk through the storms and the trials and the pressures of life. And I can guarantee you that trials and pressures will come, but what are you going to do when they arrive? I heard it once said, we're either in a problem, we just came out of a problem, or we're headed toward a problem. We're in one of those three situations. What are you going to do when the problem comes? Are you going to try to do it by your own strength and by your own power? I don't care how big you are, you can't handle the real pressures of life by your own strength and by your own power. It takes Jesus Christ living in you.